Okay, so my name is Ed Ramajak. I'm a principal program manager in the Universal Store. My particular area of focus is the Dev Center. And today's talk is around, you know, increasing app engagement and revenue through the Windows Store and the Dev Center. Okay. Goal of the talk is to cover three core items. Call outs that the store is a channel to allow you to maximize your revenue opportunity, your customer engagement opportunity through a new channel, the store. The ecosystem is growing, and I'll talk about that shortly. And today I'm going to spend a lot of time actually doing a end-to-end walkthrough of the Dev Center and giving you an insight into some of its capability, specifically in terms of how to proactively and reactively engage with your customer base and drive ongoing success of your application through the store. So some questions for you guys, just to give me some context. How many of you are developers? Awesome. Okay. Are you, and how many of you actually have a Dev Center account? Are submitting apps into the store today? Okay. Well, this is all going to be useful because hopefully at the end of this, you're going to get a good sense of the capabilities that are there to support you with store submissions. So from a ecosystem perspective, Youssef on Monday at the keynote called out that Windows 10 is now been adopted and is has monthly active usage across 400 million devices. So a significant distribution of the operating system across different device types, everything from desktop to tablet, HoloLens and Xbox and so forth. We have millions of acquiring users as a result of that success of adoption. Hundreds of thousands of apps have actually been submitted through into the store. One of the things that we're very proud of is the quality of the catalog that we have. Our certification team back in Redmond spends a lot of time ensuring that we present the right quality applications to our mutual customers as you search for applications. And as a result of the combination of our footprint, the content in the store, we are growing our acquisition numbers. We are increasing the revenue that we are redistributing to the developer community through their store submissions. As an organization, we've made lots of progress in terms of growing the ecosystem. When I joined the team, we had multiple app stores. We had device-specific app stores and content-specific app stores. And so we've converged those experiences. We've increased the scope of the Universal Windows platform. And so today, by developing a UWP application, you can reach out to multiple device form factors, everything from the desktop and mobile, all the way through to Surface Hub. HoloLens now supports UWP applications through the store. We've also increased our investment in our tooling. So we have made improvements in our Centennial Bridge product, which allows you to take an existing Win32 application and transition that over to the Universal Windows platform. By doing so, that application can then be submitted into the store and you have that distribution channel available to you. In addition to the distribution channel reach, you also benefit from the capabilities in the operating system itself. So leveraging Cortana, live tile functionality, and also support for inking is all available through that conversion of your Win32 app through Centennial. There's a call out here to music and video. So why is that relevant in this context? Well, ultimately, we have a customer base who requires a breadth of content. Once I'm interested in my music and video and I do that first acquisition, I've registered an MSA with Microsoft, I've registered a payment instrument. So when that customer considers purchasing your applications, we've removed that initial friction of them establishing that payment instrument, and so it makes it easier for them to acquire your applications moving forward. We've also made advances in our Windows Store for Business. So we have the store, the general store, but for many organizations, they're deploying Windows 10, they appreciate the opportunity that the store presents, but as the IT administrator, I want to actually control what content is available to my my users in my organization. And so I made this determine that access to the full store is not appropriate, and what is more applicable to my organization is for me as the IT administrator to select the applications that I'm interested in that have been verified and validated for use in my organization, and only present that curated list that I, as the IT administrator, have selected. So the Windows Store for Business allows you to do that. It allows the IT admin to review the content, identify the applications that that IT administrator would like to offer within their organization. And so then as an end user within that organization, when I launch the store, I have the opportunity just to see the apps that have been selected on my behalf and then subsequently install. So from a developer perspective, this gives me the opportunity to reach the commercial side of the Windows 10 install base. From an IT administration perspective, once those applications have been identified and purchased for use in my organization, I can use I can either use the Windows Store for Business as the distribution channel, or if I have investments in, for example, System Center Configuration Manager or Windows Intune, or a number of third-party management tools, I can continue to use those as my deployment mechanisms within my organization. Over the past year and more, we've also spent a lot of time unifying the developer experiences with Microsoft. We've invested in cleaning up the navigation of developer.microsoft.com to tell the story that exists across the entire Microsoft capabilities. So if I want to know about Windows, I want to know about Azure, if I want to know about the tooling and the platform languages that we have, this is the place for you to go. If you want to get further into understanding, you know, how to develop a UWP native app, you know, how to be successful with Centennial, if you want to retrieve the store services SDK, you can navigate through to dev.microsoft.com/WAC Windows or WAC Store, and there's a ton of content available for you to support you on your journey with our new UWP platform. We've also spent a lot of time reducing the cost of doing business with Microsoft. So So as a developer, previously, if I wanted to submit an application applicable to a mobile and to a smartphone, or to a desktop, or potentially even to an Office add-in, I would have to go to three developer portals, sign up three times, manage my account three times, manage the life cycle of a store submission in three different experiences. And so we're progressing with our vision of, you know, establishing one relationship between the developer and Microsoft through our unified dev center and dashboard. So if you want to manage your UWP applications, regardless of what the target device is, you come to the unified dashboard. If you're also developing, or your organization is developing, add-ins for Office, we've unified the accounts system. So again, you only sign up once, and then you can submit your apps for your Office add-in apps and your UWPs through that single account. And moving forward, we'll do even more convergence so that all of the value that we are accruing for UWP app submissions will be applicable to other content submission types. On the other side of the house, in terms of marketing your apps through the store, we have a consistent experience, whether it's the storefront client or the browser experience. That consistent experience transitions over to us smartphone form factor, and also to our console. And so the thing there is, as a consumer, as a whether I'm, you know, I could be commercial or just, you know, a sole individual, I have a consistent experience regardless of device type in terms of discovery and acquisition of content from the store. Okay, so now I'm going to transition and really kind of go into a bit more detail in terms of the improvements we've made for developers in actually submitting and driving the lifecycle management of applications through the Windows Store. So I'm going to go through a journey, everything from establishing a relationship with us all the way through to publish, engaging, and analyzing. And I'll call out some key, through a series of demos, some key functionality that kind of at a high level demonstrates the value of the Dev Center services that we provide once you determine you want to submit an application through us. So starting with the account relationship. So we have a single account system, and as I said previously, that supports you with UWP app submissions. It also supports you with Office add-in submissions. And I can either sign up with a single account, or I can sign up creating an organizational account. And we've established the organizational account by leveraging Azure Active Directory. So I'm going to transition over to my demo. Okay, so two things here. So when I created this particular developer account, I attached my Azure Active Directory tenant to this account. And by doing so, all of my users in my tenancy are listed, and I have granted these users permissions within the Dev Center. So today we have a set of standard roles that encompass everything from manager to developer to marketing functions, and those standard roles will determine what capability you have within the Dev Center. We've extended that model and this extension in our role-based access control has been released into our insider ring as of this week. And that extension gives us even greater control in terms of who can do what. So if I transition over to my other browser window, I'm signed in as Izzy, Izzy G into this account. Now, Izzy's view of the dev center is restricted to one application. I have four applications in their entirety, but I've basically declared that Izzy can only work on the racetrack application. He has no visibility, no knowledge of any other application within my organization. If I go into the racetracks application, let's try that. Let's try a different wireless connection. Okay, let's try that again. So if I go into, okay, so I'm Izzy, going to racetrack application, and I want to know how well the application is doing from an acquisitions perspective. Right now, I've been actually restricted from actually seeing the acquisitions for this particular application. So I'm going to go back as into the manager role. I'm going to select Izzy, and I'm going to actually extend his capability so that he can actually have access to acquisitions for that particular application. So we're introducing the notion of fine-grained permissions at an account level, but also fine-grained permissions at a per-product basis. So for all of these products listed, I can control whether the user in my organization can set pricing, whether they can actually submit an application, what level of analytics they can see, and so forth. So in this case, I'm going to say, hey, Izzy, you should definitely see acquisitions. And also, we're going to now create a new application that we're going to launch in the holiday season. And I want you to be part of that development team. So I'm going to basically add the CircuitTracks application also to his account and save those properties. I'll now transition back over to Izzy. And so what I'll do is I'll go back to the dashboard overview. And now what you see is both the Racetracks application and the CircuitTracks application available to him. And if I go into Racetracks, you can actually see that the acquisitions numbers are also flowing through. Transition to the analytics report, hit acquisitions. And there I have the acquisition showing up. So we've really extended the capabilities that you as an administrator for your developer account can apply to support who does what on your behalf. So you have your organization represented in the Dev Center. You build your application. We have a set of SDKs, or we have the store services SDK, should I say, available to support you. That exposes a number of functionality, a number of capabilities, including integration with the feedback hub that's available within Windows 10. I'll talk about that a little more later. Experimentation, if you want to leverage advertising as part of your merchandising strategy, the SDK allows you to configure the advertising controls and so forth. We also, during the build phase, you'll also start thinking through your monetization strategy, whether you want to sell your application for purchase, whether you want to have add-ons that you can sell in addition to your base product, whether you want to create bundles, and so forth. You'll also determine at this point whether you want to include A/B testing. We have a capability where you can have different experiences for different sets of users to see which is most effective in driving particular activity and engagement. And then we also have the support for custom eventing. So if you want to know how your customers are leveraging your application, where they're navigating to, what usage patterns they have, our custom eventing capability builds out the analytics that you can then review to understand, you know, your customer to application interactions. We've made a lot of investments in the act of publishing your applications in the store. We've streamlined multiple processes to reduce the time it takes to, you know, adjust your market selection, uploading localized strings to support an international application distribution. We've implemented a new submission API to allow you to programmatically submit applications into the store. And we've introduced a set of new capabilities when it comes to making those applications available to your customer base. You can declare pre-orders where applications can be made available ahead of a general availability. We have the support for bundling. You can do conditional pricing where if the customer has application A, you can offer them the sister application B at a reduced price. We support the ability to promote add-ons with as a first-class citizen. So in the store, they will have their own product description page, and as a result, will increase the merchandising and discoverability of your add-ons for your product set. We also have a number of advanced capabilities to support content isolation, pre-download season passes, and downloadable content. These are scenarios that are typically leveraged by our game studios submitting applications into the availability through for the Xbox console or for availability on desktop PC. We know that when you deploy your applications, you want to be able to verify that new functionality is working as expected. You also want to have the opportunity to deploy your applications in a staged manner to verify that there aren't any last minute bugs that your own quality assurance hasn't discovered, identified through your own validation. And so we have package flighting capability that allows you to declare who gets the application and how they get the application. So I'm going to go back to my demo. Close this account, close sign out of here. And sign in with a new account. Okay. So this is the account that we use to create the DevCenter application. I'm going to go and select that application, transition to submissions. And in readiness for today, I've pre-created a new submission for this particular application. When I go into the packages for this application, one of the options I have is to basically declare a gradual rollout of this application. This application may have been installed by, well, actually has been installed by over 15,000, or has been acquired by 15,000 users. And I don't want this update to go to everyone, just in case there is some regression or some introduction of a bug that maybe I haven't caught myself. So we now support gradual rollouts where I can actually go in and declare a percentage of my user population to actually receive the application once it's been submitted and the update has been published into the store. I can then use the analytics that we have in the dev center to ensure that, you know, the crash counts, the hangs haven't increased. I can carefully look at the feedback that I'm receiving from the customer base to verify that everything is good before I then increase that rollout to my entire population. So that's a net new set of functionality that we've introduced into the Dev Center to give you more control as to when you release an application out to your customer base. I also mentioned that there may be some functionality that you want to release to a subset of users because you want them, they're your enthusiastic audience. They actually could be part of an internal feature validation ring. So if I go back to my submission, I have the opportunity to basically go and create a new package flight. And here, what I can do is I can take a new package I can select a flight group which comprises of a number of users that I've identified to be my test ring, send that package, and only the users within that flight ring will actually receive that application update. And I will use that mechanism to get feedback on the new functionality that I've deployed, developed prior to actually going out and distributing that application update across my larger install base. So some new functionality there to give you more controls in terms of how you deploy your updates to your user base. Okay. So you've done your publication, you've done your validation. The workflow is transitioning over to application discoverability. There's a number of things that you can do to support your discoverability. The product description pages is one method of promoting your application. You can drive social campaigns with links to the application in the store to drive awareness. We also have a notification feature where you can proactively reach out to your existing customers to say, hey, I've got a new capability, a new application that you may be interested in. And I'll show you the notification functionality a little later on. From a store perspective, from a Microsoft perspective, we have multiple surfaces, both within Windows, within browser, within MSN, to also promote your application. So if I transition over to MSN as an example, let me just go here. So this was the MSN page from this morning. And as I scroll down, note that within the news tables, there's a reference to Spider Solitaire. This is an application from the store that we have selected using, you know, our algorithms based on the application quality and so forth. So if I select Spider Solitaire, launch the store. You see that this is an application that has been developed by Tree Card Games. It's not a, you know, primary application. It's not a Netflix. It's not a Hulu. The reason I call this out is there's an opportunity here for developers that have created, you know, fantastic applications that are receiving, you know, really strong reviews from their customer base. Those items collectively allow us to, you know, give you the opportunity to be merchandised in different surfaces across the Windows platform. In terms of engaging with your customers, we have two channels for you to understand what your customers are saying about your applications. We have ratings and reviews. That's a standard mechanism in any store infrastructure where, you know, a customer can rate your application. That star rating is presented back to you in the dev center. You can respond to the review both privately or publicly, and that cycle is ongoing with the view of driving up your star rating through, you know, successive iterations of your application. But in some scenarios, the customer is an enthusiast, wants to give you feedback, but doesn't necessarily want to give you a rating at that time. And so to support that flow of receiving customer feedback without the potential of being penalized through a star rating, we've integrated with the app feedback system. So with Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, we have the feedback hub that was used previously by the Insider Ring to give Microsoft feedback on how well Windows 10 was doing in early releases. But we've basically hooked into that channel so that you can launch the app, the feedback hub from your application, or a customer can launch your feedback hub, the feedback hub from your application, provide feedback, and then you can get and engage in a conversation with your customers. So if I go back to my demo machine and I launch the Dev Center application, so here is the UWP application that supports the Dev Center. In this case, I've got my smiley face. When I select that smiley face, it launches the feedback hub. It launches it in the context of the Dev Center application. And here is where I can go and supply feedback on that application. I can say whether it's a suggestion or a problem, submit that back through to the developer. On the other side of that, I can then, as the developer, go into the analytics report, launch the feedback portion of analytics, and then I can use the upvoting to understand what is the popular areas of feedback that are coming back on my application. In this case, it's the requirement to add app usage into the UWP application. I can then engage in a conversation with my community. I can be either public or private to say, to acknowledge the feedback, to say maybe a fix is coming and so forth. I can use the status functionality to declare whether I'm working on a fix, whether the feedback has actually been addressed, and so forth. And if I want to have more information back from the person who raised that feedback, I can actually send comments directly to them via email, and I can enter my organization's support alias for more information. This workflow allows me to understand what my customers want from my application, but in this case, it also bypasses the ratings and review system, so I'm not being penalized as my enthusiast audience is giving me feedback on my app. You can extend your applications through the services, the Store Services SDK, to enable that functionality. To support your lifecycle management of your application in the store, having a rich set of analytics is an extremely important piece of the functionality that we need to provide you through the Dev Center. Analytics is an area that's particularly close to my heart. It's one of the areas that I'm specifically responsible in the dev center. And we've spent a lot of time doubling down and improving the analytics experiences. So if I look at this particular account, we're introducing one of the first changes that I want to share is the new overview page for analytics, where I can select, here we go, where I can select applications that I'm most interested in, and I get a high-level view of what's happening with those applications, what my acquisition numbers are, what the total lifetime acquisitions are for the applications, what my user sessions look like, the crash profile over the last 30 days, and what the customer feedback from a rating perspective has also been over the past 30 days. And I can, and we'll continue to add additional reporting into this overview page to give you even more visibility around what's happening with your application. We have rich acquisitions analytics, which in essence are saying how many customers have actually acquired my application, broken out by customer demographic, market, OS version, and so forth. We're also about to introduce some new install analytics. So the install analytics, which is a set of reporting capability that we're about to release, actually goes one step further that says, okay, so I have a population of users that have acquired my app. How many devices have they actually installed that application over? And so we're going to show your actual installation numbers as well. And in the fullness of time, we'll complement this with uninstall numbers, because you want to know over time, are your customers de-investing in the applications that they've acquired through the store? And again, we'll break it out by market. We also have by package version and so forth. The analytics story continues with real-time reporting. So some of our acquisition, some of our health analytics has some latency in its recent relevance. Our acquisitions data is up to 48 hours latent in terms of the data that we presented to you. And we've had lots of feedback saying, hey, we actually want real-time information, because when I do my flighted deployment, when I release my application to a control group, I need to know as close to real-time what's the effect of that application deployment looks like. So we've introduced real-time reporting, where you can actually filter down the view of your acquisitions and so forth from a single hour over to the last 7 days. So for this application, over the past 24 hours, we've had 224 acquisitions of this application broken out by those following markets. We'll be complementing these reports with crash reporting as well, so that you'll have a view of the relative stability of your application deployments. We also have usage data. So here, over the past 30 days, we're showing how many active users have used the application, how many user sessions have occurred across those active users. Again, broken out by market, broken out by package versions. If I sort by package versions, you'll see that the .20 release is increasing in user sessions as we auto-update and install the latest update across our user population. In this case, we've also instrumented the application with those custom events. So here, I actually can see which pages in my application are being utilized and viewed. Acquisitions is the top line graph. That's getting most usage, followed by ratings and reviews and crashes. If I select my apps, just clear some of these out, then I'll also see, just remove acquisitions. You'll also see that the My Apps functionality has actually reduced in usage pattern. That could be by design, or that could actually indicate that there is some issue with the discoverability or usefulness of that feature set. So that's some of the power of the custom eventing that you can leverage to get a better understanding of how your application is being used by your customer base. The final item I want to call out from an analytics perspective is the health reporting. So again, I will extend the time period here. So for the past 30 days, I have a view of how many crashes and how many hangs have occurred across this application in production. Overlaying this with my user session count as a percentage, it's actually not too bad, but I am interested to understand why I am getting these crashes. So again, we break out the hits across markets. We show that the hits are across two package versions over the past 30 days, the .17 and the .20. The .20 has more crashes. Am I concerned about that? Not necessarily, because that package is the one that is going to be updated across my entire user base. I also have a breakout of all of my failure hits categorized, so I can determine which of the crashes are the ones that I really should prioritize in terms of triaging and fixing to improve the reliability of my application. So in this case, the top fault is responsible for 102 hits over the past 30 days. As I drill into the failure hit, we provide more information. So this failure has been affecting both my most recent application version, number 20, but it was also impacting my .17. So potentially not a regression. It's consistent across both PC and phone. And we're now exposing the particular model that has experienced the fault. And in this case, again, there is no consistency. There's no commonality there. The OS build also is highlighted to ensure that, you know, it's not an issue that is being presented through, let's say, the most recent Insider Ring release. And then as the developer, I can drill in, retrieve the stack trace for this particular incident. And in the fullness of time, we will introduce the ability for you to actually retrieve the cab, the memory dump resulting that was generated when this crash occurred to support you with your triage of this particular issue. So we're continuing to invest in our analytics capability, and you'll see even more investments over the next few months. The other thing that we support through the Dev Center is the ability to proactively engage with your customer base. So we have two sets of features. We have segmentation and targeting, where I can leverage data that we, the store, have, complemented with the data that you have for your customer base, for you to then declare customer segments, which you can then use to drive engagement with. And I've got an example of that shortly. We also support A/B testing. And so with A/B testing, we have an A/B testing service. You can declare two experiences, multiple experiences within your application, present those to a control group and a second user set, and understand through our reporting which of the experiences is getting the best adoption, engagement, and so forth. That's a set of services that's exposed through this Store Services SDK. The nice thing about the A/B testing is you can make changes, an example being a label on a button. You can make those changes through the Dev Center UI once you determine which one is more effective for your particular function. You can then apply that for your entire customer population without having to resubmit an application update into the store. So your ability to react and implement your application updates based on that A/B testing has been accelerated without the need for another deployment. From a segmentation perspective, I'm going to go into the customers group. And I'm going to, so here's my customers group, and I'm going to go and create a new group, a new segment for the Dev Center application. So before absolutely doing anything here, it's saying that my baseline here is 11,238 app customers. I have some interesting information around demographic, purchase behavior, and whether or not, or what the breakout is of customers who have made store purchases and who haven't. This data can be used to support my notification capability. So in this case, just as an example, I want to reach out to a particular customer based on age. Maybe there's a particular set of functionality, or there's a particular application that I want to promote to that customer base that I believe would be more applicable to a certain age range. So if I go and select my demographic, and I'll say age group is 25 to 34, go back to my demographic, that's identified an addressable population of 3,825 customers. So I can use this data to say, hey, I can target this set of customers in some interesting ways. So again, within the Dev Center, we've built out that notification channel. So if I go back to my dashboard overview, scroll down to Dev Center app. Go to services, I can leverage the push notification capability available through the Windows 10 platform. So when an application is installed on Windows 10, that application will register with the Windows Notification Services, which supports the Action Center and the live tiles. So what I've done here is I've created a notification. It's for my Ignite demo. And here, I can declare the experience that I want to present. I can be prompting users to potentially rate my application. We're going to introduce an attribute that says, has give me a view of users who haven't or have rated my application previously, so that I'm not sending that prompt to someone that who has already given me feedback or provided me a rating review. I can do things like promote an application to another application from my portfolio to my existing customers, and so forth. In this case, I've just come up with a simple notification that will basically launch a, hey, this session is happening, and please attend. And maybe I should have sent that yesterday. So I'd have had maybe a larger attendance. So I have my definition of my notification. And then I have the option to then declare to who I want to send that out. I could send it out to all users. I could send it out to some flight groups that I've previously created to say, hey, the new update to this application is available. Please start testing. In this case, I'm going to send this out to a flight group of two users because this is a production application, and I don't want to spam everybody internationally with a, hey, here's a demo from Ignite. So I'm going to select the flight, my testers group, hit send. And this is the third time that I'm running this demo, and it's failed on me twice. So we'll see if I'm third time lucky. But that's okay if not, because I've got a backup. Let's go to notifications. Here we go. Don't miss our session. There's my notification. This is one I prepared earlier. I click on that notification, and it sends me here to the website. There's lots of power behind that workflow. You can leverage that in multiple ways. Everything, as I said, from asking your existing customers to rate your app, for your flight groups to test your application, to your existing customers in terms of advertising new capability, new applications that you have in the store. Okay. So that's really the story of the life cycle of being in the Dev Center, everything from, you know, creating your accounts, publishing, doing the lifecycle management, analyzing how well your application is performing, driving experimentation, and so forth. The last thing that I'm going to talk to you today is around how we are also engaging with our developer community so that we in the engineering team have build out the right sets of capabilities to support your success in the store. So a couple of things that I want to call out. If I go back into the Dev Center, you'll note that I am part of the Dev Center insider ring. So we have the same notion of an insider ring as Windows has for the operating system. This is an opt-in, opt-out. You can determine, you know, if you want to participate or not. But the thing about the insider preview is I will get access to an early set of functionality prior to that functionality going general availability. And so by selecting the insider ring, there are a number of functions that are only available today if you're a member of that ring. So examples being the real-time analytics, the new analytics overview page, that's available in the insider ring, the capability for declaring the custom, the fine-grained permissions on your accounts. All of that capability is first exposed in the insider ring. We solicit feedback, verify that it's meeting your requirements, and then we'll release that out to the for general availability. We also have a feedback mechanism within the Dev Center itself, where you can actually state back to us, you know, is there a suggestion? Is there some functionality that you'd like to see in the Dev Center? Is there a specific problem that you're experiencing? If the issue type is problem, then that makes its way through our bug management systems using TFS, and we will create the engineering bugs behind the problems that have been identified, and then we'll give you visibility of where that issue is in terms of, you know, triage, in terms of being addressed and so forth. Our insider population is in excess of 8,000 developers, and we get daily a ton of great feedback through this channel. So with that, that concludes my talk for today. And I know there's only a small audience here today, but you know, I will open it up for any questions. So.
So we're just trying to understand where we fit in, given the fact that we're not producing game. We're not developing a music app for someone to consume. It's specific to line of business apps, be it in the JavaScript space, UPF space, on the Centennial side, or
right.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, in the UWP space.
So if I were to replay, we still have multiple channels for you, and you are trying to determine where should you spend your time in investing and submitting your apps for the greatest return.
I guess I'm just trying to understand what my app would be in this context, in that we build puzzle pieces to create apps in every platform available. So what would be an example of my value proposition for Windows Store?
So I'll take Centennial as a great example. The desktop app converter, that function to transition your Win32 app into the Universal Windows platform, that conversion tool is available as a UWP in the Windows Store. And you mentioned Visual Studio, that has a presence. In the long run, we want to give you the one experience where you go into one place and say, hey, I'm going to just submit my app, and it's available in the right places, right? That's a journey for us, and we will continue to make progress there. So the notion of your application being in the Windows Store, you'll have to repeat that process to, if you wanted it also to be exposed through the mechanisms that Visual Studio has with its store. And actually, I'm not overly familiar on the process with Visual Studio. My feedback to you is Win32 and Centennial has actually achieved a huge level of interest from our developer community. And we are promoting, and we'll continue to promote, the Windows Store as being the place to go to find applications, whether it's a consumer application, whether it's a game, whether it's a line of business application, whether it's some developer tool set that's going to support you with for me as a developer with my development functionality. So in essence, there is no downside for you in terms of exposing your portfolio of capability through the store. I mean, across the 400 million active devices, there's going to be a large set of developers who are looking at the store, identifying what capability is available in the store to support them. And I think you would fall into that segment, based on the toolings that you just discussed.
Thanks. Do you have an ETA for the PayAl API that I believe you mentioned?
The PayAt API. I do not have an ETA for the PayAt API. However, if you hold back later and give me your email address, then Mario Yanez, who is the PM lead in that space, I will ping him and get you the most recent update on that. There was something else I wanted to say. With the line of business application, and we've got Matt in the audience here, I mean, we are leveraging Windows Store for Business as a discovery channel. And so you want to get access to that customer base. And so submitting your application and saying, yes, I want this to also be exposed through the Windows Store for Business is another channel lead generation opportunity that you will benefit from by actually, submitting your app into the store and making that configuration option.
It's just a slow uptake on the Windows 10 side. Just a quick follow-up question.
Sure.
What are the specifics on getting involved in the developer insider ring that you mentioned?
You just go in on the into the account settings and you just select give me access, and that's it. And then literally, I think it's 5 minutes for us to turn that around, and then you're in. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy the rest of Ignite and the rest of your time in Atlanta. Thank you.